God, thanks one more time for another opportunity to gather together to discuss his words and to worship him. We're giving God thanks for life, for health, and for strength, and that we are still in our right minds, and we still have the opportunity to come before him freely. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. We don't have to be hiding from authorities, but we still have the privilege where we can make a decision to gather together online just to worship the name of the Lord Jesus. And we don't want to take this lightly. And so I welcome each and every one of you to our Bible class tonight. I welcome all of our visitors, probably first-time visitors, I'm not sure, but if you're visiting with us tonight, we are really happy to have you online. I take this opportunity to greet our assistant pastor, Minister Michael Hansen, all the elders, evangelists, ministers, and God's precious people in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to bow our heads at this time while we all pray together in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for your many mercies. Lord Jesus, I thank you for life. I thank you, God, for another opportunity, Lord Jesus, just to come before you, oh God Almighty, to hear what you have to say to us. Lord Jesus, I am asking you tonight that you remove every cloud of darkness. Lord Jesus, oh God, stretch forth your hands, rebuke even now, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Let your glorious light fill our minds, Lord Jesus. Open our understanding, oh God, as we discuss these words, Lord God Almighty. Help us, God Almighty, to put them into practice. Oh Lord, we depend on you, oh God Almighty. Hallelujah. Without you, we can't say one thing. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now, hallelujah, take control, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Speak to your people, speak through this lump of clay, Lord God. Lay your hands upon me in the name of Jesus Christ. Strengthen me, Lord. Lord Jesus, you know, God Almighty, that without you, God Almighty, I can have no effect. So, God, I lean not on my own understanding, but on you, Lord Jesus, that you may have your way with us tonight. In your precious name, we say thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, last week we had discussed the importance of acknowledgement of sins, as it relates to our theme on repentance. And we were blessed to have Minister Chambers sharing with us last week. And I know our hearts were being blessed of the Lord. And just one statement he made last week is that a person must be fully aware, conscious. Fully aware, come to terms, have a proper understanding of his sins, and that is important to repentance. Because if we don't know what we are repenting of, if we haven't acknowledged it, and then we can't truly repent before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're going to look on another aspect of repentance, which is confession of sins. And so we will turn to two short scriptures. The first one from Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, it reads, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. I will just read from the King James for those of us who are using one. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And now we'll turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 to 10. We claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. If we say, from the King James Version, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the key verse there is verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the definition for confession or to confess, it means to acknowledge, and it's an acknowledgement of sins or trespasses committed against the Lord or to a neighbor whom we have wronged. It means to agree with and acknowledge fully, confess fully. We have to agree, come to terms. Someone will say a clean slate. You got to speak it out. And to acknowledge it fully. Now, confession is required by God. It forms a very integral part of repentance. The man who has is repenting of his sins must confess. God requires it. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5, it tells us, when you become aware of your guilt in any of these ways, we can read further into the background of what it was. But when you become aware of your guilt, of your sins, in any of these ways, you must confess your sin. It's our responsibility. It's a part of our duty. We must confess our sins. So the first thing, as soon as we are aware of our sins, we have acknowledged it, we must confess, make the necessary confessions. And Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, it said, then I will return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. And so God requires confession. It's not optional. It's a requirement. Not only does he require confession, but he regards it. When we look on the in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20 to 23, Daniel said, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And so this is an example of the power of confession. God regards, he pays attention to confession. And so Daniel is here in praying to the Lord. And the scripture tells us that he is confessing his sin and the sin of the people, of the Israelites. And while he was presenting his plea before the Lord, the angel of the Lord, whom he had seen in a vision, was sent to him, turned up, and brought a message to Daniel. And so one should be fully aware that not only is confession required of God, but God regards it. God pays attention to an individual who is confessing their sins. And we are all exhorted to confess our sins, encouraged to confess our sins. And now, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 tells us that there is a danger to the man who refuses to confess. God requires it, he regards it. And so the man who refuses to confess, the Bible tells us that he will not prosper, because he seeks to cover, to hide his sin. And sin is a reproach unto any people. And because he seeks to hide his sin, he will not prosper. And that's something for us to, it's something for us all to pay attention to. Because we can believe that we are prospering while there is sins in our life, unconfessed sins in our life. But guarantee, the word of the Lord is certain, it's sure. And in his words, he says, if we hide our sins, we cover it, we refuse to confess, we will not prosper. And so, I mean, prosperity and success as it relates to this world, the definition in this world might be a little bit different, but true prosperity and success comes only from the Lord. And a man who is considered a prosperous man or a successful individual is a man who lives in a life of repentance and quickly confesses his sins when he is aware of it. And so the Lord promises that he who confesses and forsakes, so he's not just verbally opening up and letting him sins be made known. He can talk about it, but he must forsake if he's supposed to be receiving this benefit from the Lord. The Bible said that he will obtain mercy. So you must confess and forsake. That's a promise that was given to us. And even in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 40 to 42, it tells us that, "But at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile towards me, when I have turned their hostility back on them and brought them to the land of their enemies. And then at last their stubborn hearts will be humbled and they will pay for their sins." So we should learn or should understand the importance of confession. God promises us benefits. There are benefits that comes when a soul repents and confesses their sins. What should confession be accompanied with? Confession comes with godly sorrow. Psalm 38 and verse 13 says, I confess my sins. I am deeply sorry for what I have done. It's not only to make your sins known, but it should be accompanied with deep sorrow, brokenness. An individual who is confessing their sins, who's acknowledging, who's agreeing with what the Lord states in his word, the sin, the transgression that was committed, that individual should be deeply sorrowful. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 25, he said, "Let us lie down in our shame, and let our dishonor cover us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God." He's making confession. "And our fathers from our youth even to this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of our God." Now, confession at times, when a person confesses their sins, at times, depending on the sin, it may warrant or God may punish an individual for their sins, or discipline, let me use that word. Discipline an individual for their sins. Because in the mind of God, God is moving us on to perfection. And so, even the very act of confession, though certain consequences may come with it after confession, one should be fully aware that when you confess your sins, if there's going to be disciplinary action by the Lord, you should be submissive to such actions. In Ezra 9 and verse 13, Ezra tells us, "And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, seeing that you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserved and have given us such a remnant as this." Now, Ezra is saying, we recognize what we have done, the sins that were committed, the evil deeds, our great guilt. And when we confessed it to you, but even so, the punishments that we have received is far less than the sins that we have committed. I will share a testimony or something I experienced, I saw with my own eyes. I remember, and this has to do with newborn believers. There, back in Jamaica, there were a set of gunmen who were converted. They got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember my pastor was counseling them. He said, of course, the law of the land is for the lawless. And so when they made their necessary confessions, some of what was said had to be brought to the necessary, to the police officers rather. And so arrests were made, and these men were in the jail for a little bit. And so they had to go through their various court proceedings, some were placed on bail. And I remember my pastor counseling them, and he told them, about three or four of them, when you stand before the court, show that you are penitent, be broken, show that you are sorry for your sins, and do not argue. Don't ever try to defend yourselves. And I remember, to cut a long story short, three of the men, they stood up, and when the arguments were made against them, they agreed to what they were guilty for or guilty of. All of these men who agreed, they were given light sentences. And some of them serving their light sentences, they were freed, released on good behavior. And but there was one person in the lot, and when the arguments were presented against him, he did not obey the counsel of the pastor, and he stood up to defend himself. And when he stood up to defend himself, the judge was so upset, and he got 10 years while the others got 1 year and less. And so one should understand that confession comes with brokenness. And when we confess to the Lord, whatsoever, it doesn't matter the consequences that will come with the confession. We're compelled to do this because we know that there is a blessing in confession. Because the man who hides, the man who covers his sin, will not prosper in anything as it relates to his life. He's going to live a life of doom. But the man who makes his sin known and forsake him, the Bible says he will be forgiven. And so, confession and forsaking the sin will guarantee God's mercy. It will guarantee God's forgiveness of sin. David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins." And we can read further. David began to open up to the Lord about what his sin was, or his sins were. And so we've got to understand that confession and forsaking our sins will give us the benefit of forgiveness of sins. Confession Confession comes to with self humiliation at times. It's not easily, it's not a, not necessarily an easy thing to do. In Lamentations 1 and verse 20, it said, "Look, O Lord, see my anguish. My heart is broken, and my soul despairs, for I have rebelled against you. In the streets, the sword kills, and at home, there's only death." Confessing our sins will cost us. And in Numbers chapter 5 and 6 to 7, it speaks of restitution. Because where a sin is made against an individual, in other words, I have robbed Elder Brown. I saw he left some money on his table, and I picked it up and took it for myself. And now I'm living with that guilt, and I want to come clean. I cannot just simply say, "Lord, forgive me for stealing Elder Brown's money." And Elder Brown is still in pain, losing his $1,000. And so restitution must be made. Because if I confess my sin of stealing, robbery, I must make restitution. And Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. The Lord said, "Give the following instruction to the people of Israel. If any of the people, men or women, betray the Lord by doing wrong to another person, they are guilty." Any of them do wrong, they are guilty. They must confess their sin and make full restitution. That means give it back. It's not enough to say, "I'm sorry, I did this." We have to pay it back. Make full restitution for what they have done. And add in additional 20%. And return it to the person who was wrong. So confession at times must be accompanied with restitution. If we have defrauded, we have to pay back. Confession should be full and unreserved, not a partial confession. Not something that it's okay for me to just say a part. At least it doesn't hurt that badly. Or I won't feel ashamed. But when a person is confessing, you have to make full confession. Psalm 32 verse 5 said, "Finally, I confess all my sins," not a part, all my sins to you, "and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." So confession must be made fully, unreserved, not partial confession. Because friends, there are times when the enemy will want us, we feel the guilt, we know that confession is necessary. But if I tell the entire story, especially those that relates, confession that relates to an individual, to another individual, if I tell the entire story, how will I be seen in the eyes of the individual? So rather than saying everything, I will say a part just to kind of appease my conscience. But friends, the scripture is telling us that confession is not correctly done. All my sins must be made known. Everyone, not a part. First John, opening scripture, 1 John 1 and verse 9, he said, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, unrighteousness. Now, so, in our opening remarks, we made mention that confession is our responsibility, our duty. Whenever a person transgresses against God, either willfully or unknowingly, and turns away from his sin, forsake, it is his duty, his responsibility to confess before God. And in Numbers chapter 5, 6, verse 7, it says, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done. This means confessing words, and this confession is an affirmative precept. It's a principle. Confession must be done in words. Now, it is not enough for an individual to acknowledge his sins, but he should take the necessary steps, however hard it is, he should take the necessary steps to confess his sins, that forgiveness may be granted. And so we understand the aim and the reason for confession is that we will, or we require, we are seeking for forgiveness of sin. Without such, there can't be any forgiveness of sin. So confession, let's look at the types of confession. We have confession to God, to our neighbor, and sometimes to the entire church family, our body, or to a spiritual leader at times. So once again, if you're taking notes, to God, to our neighbor, an individual, we may have transgressed, we may have trespassed against an individual. The necessary confession must be made to entire church at times, or to a spiritual leader. Sins committed against the Lord, as David said, one point in one of his psalms, against thee, against you, God, And you only have I sinned against you. So David is confessing to God of his sins, sins that he have committed against the Lord. He's confessing of it. Such sins, an individual goes to the Lord in prayer. And in praying, he opens up to God. And he tells God exactly what is in his heart, where he has gone wrong. He fully discloses to God what God is already aware of. He's not telling God something that God doesn't know. God is fully aware of it. And so he opens up to the Lord and tells him everything that's happening, everything that he has done. He has sinned, how he has sinned against God. He opens up fully, not partially, with an intention to forsake. And so we have to God alone. We see that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We can read that again. But if we confess our sins to him, that's to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And the theme scripture also, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he who conceals his sin will not prosper. Whosoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 19, when Daniel opened up in prayer, he was confessing his sins for his own sins, rather, to God, and the sins of the people of Israel. And he was confessing, he was making those known to God. So confession, as it relates to where we have trespassed or transgressed against the Lord, such sins must be confessed to the Lord. And next we have to your neighbor. When is it that we confess to our neighbor? We spoke of that in Leviticus chapter 5. Let me just go back here. Our Numbers chapter 5. In terms of when an individual transgresses against another individual and how restitution must be made. Such confessions, you cannot escape. You cannot, where we have transgressed against an individual, we have caused an offense. We cannot simply go to the Lord in prayer and confess our sins when we know that there is an individual where we have offended, we have caused an offense. We have to find that individual. We have to seek him out and make it known to him. So that's necessary for forgiveness of sin. Therefore, St. Matthew 5, verse 23, if you remember, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, ought against you, you should leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile, go make it right. Whatever you have to talk about, you have to leave it and make it right. That's the only time that the Lord will pay attention to what you have come to the altar to offer to him. Because there's an issue that's standing between you and God. So the Lord says, leave the gift at the altar. Go find your brother and go make it right. And we see that, friends, because in Genesis, where Cain and Abel, when they presented their offering to the Lord, we talked about that on several occasions, that what the Lord was looking on was the heart of these individuals. It doesn't matter how beautiful the gifts were, if the heart that was presenting the gift was not correct, was not in right standing, the gift could not be accepted. And so Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's sacrifice, the Lord paid no attention to it. Because sin, the Bible tells us, sin was lying at his door. There was something there that he needs to confess. And so, this is one area that we should observe. And also, the question was asked, how often do you forgive your neighbors when they have trespassed against you? And the Lord told his disciples, 70 times 7. In other words, as often, not necessarily a mathematical calculation, but in as often when they come to you and they repent, if they ask for forgiveness, they have repented, you should forgive them. It doesn't matter how often they have caused an offense. The fact that when confession is made, then you should forgive. It means too that if I am the person who has caused the offense, I need to go and ask for forgiveness of sins. Make the necessary confession. Friends, I know some of these things are not the easiest things to talk about, number one, and to practice. We don't hear much about these things at times in our assemblies. And I think that's where the Lord is taking us back to. The confession is a part of every believer's life. We cannot escape it. We must make it known. And so the Lord expects us, because when you study the entire book of Leviticus, it speaks of transgression, sins committed against God, and sins committed against your fellow brother. And so Leviticus is the vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship. That's all that's you find in Leviticus. It teaches us how we relate to one another. What is good versus what is considered sin. And also how we relate to God, our relationship with God. What is accepted and what is considered sin. And so, and at times, one may confess to a spiritual leader. We find that in 2 Samuel verse 12 and verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. When the prophet Nathan, and this was the responsibility of the prophet was a man who stands up for justice. Not just what we think the responsibility of a prophet is, or the duty, or the gifting. And now, when somebody speaks about the prophet, he just speaks about foretelling of the future or something like that. But the office of the prophet, he stands up. He stands as an individual that hears for God. He stands up for justice and righteousness. Yeah, it was not an easy task, because at times he will have to face the king. It doesn't matter if the king wants to hear or not. And it might mean that he will lose his life telling the king what the Lord has said. And so in this example, we find Nathan coming to David and making David come to terms or understand how he has sinned against the Lord. And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." "The Lord has taken away your sin," Nathan replied. "You will not die." So we see confession being made to a spiritual leader. Here, the example here is a prophet. And we see also when individuals who are coming to be baptized by John the Baptist, that they came confessing their sins. Since confession is a part of repentance, when these individuals heard the message of John the Baptist, when they came to be baptized, they came confessing their sins. We find that also that when Peter preached, he said, "Repent of your sins and be baptized." That tells us that a person who has not repented should not be baptized. Because repentance must come before baptism. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 18. It's Paul. And they're preaching. The Bible said many, verse 19, verse 18, many who had believed now came forward confessing and disclosing their deeds. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books and burned them in front of everyone. So the gospel is preached. What happened to the sons of Sceva when they tried to imitate the men of God? And the demons leap out of the individual and beat them, strip them naked. But the Bible said that this became known to all the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, and fear came over all of them. So the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And many who had believed now came forward. And when they came forward, they came confessing and disclosing their deeds. They're coming to the truth. And they are disclosing their deeds. They are confessing. And verse 19 tells us, in their confession, they are bringing to the apostles a number of those who had practiced magic arts, brought their books, and burned them in front of everyone. That's not a partial confession. Full. So the next one we want to look at is confession being made to the entire church. When is that necessary? If an individual has sinned, scripture clearly teaches us that there are some sins that defiles the community of faith and must be confessed publicly. Confession should be made to the church where some sin has created a public scandal. It should be confessed or acknowledged publicly. Can't be done secretly when it has caused an open shame to the body of believers. Such sins should be confessed openly. I will be going to the New Testament, but let's look starting in the Old Testament first. Sins that defile the community of faith. There are some sins that when it's committed, the entire body is affected. Let's look at Joshua 7, verse 19. And a little thought on this Sunday night. So the children of Israel went up to battle against Ai, and those who had spied out the land said to Joshua that we only need about 3,000 men to take on these people because they can't handle us. Don't overburden the warriors that we have. It's just a little job, a small job. We can take care of it. And so they went up against the children of Ai. They went up against Ai in battle. And about 36 of the children of Israel were destroyed. And they had to flee from the battle. And Joshua wondered how this thing could be. How could it be that the Lord had allowed them to such an open shame? Joshua now was worried for the future of Israel because there are other nations around that if they knew what happened, they may have attacked Israel. And so the Lord instructed Joshua when he went before the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. The Lord said, Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. Joshua 7 verse 11. They have stolen some of the things that I have commanded must be set apart from me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden things among their own belongings. Israel have sinned. One individual has one of his sins has affected the entire nation of Israel. And so the Lord told Joshua, tell the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. In the morning, you must present yourselves tribes by tribes. And the Lord will point out the tribe to which the guilty man belongs. So it's an individual. But the tribe must come forward. And the tribes will be pointed out. And the tribe must come forward with its clans. And the Lord will point out the guilty clan. That clan will then come forward. And the Lord will point out the guilty family. Finally, each member of the guilty family must come forward one by one. The one who was stolen what was set apart for destruction will himself be burned with fire. And so the next morning, Joshua brought the tribes of Israel before the Lord. And the tribe of Judah was singled out. Then the clans of Judah came forward. And the clan of Zerah was singled out. Then the families of Zerah came forward. And the family of Zimri was singled out. Every member of Zimri's family brought forward, person by person, and Achan was singled out. Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord. tell us what happened. Give glory to God. And give, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. So he's telling Achan to make confession unto God, and he should not hide to him, Joshua, what he has done. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So here is an example where a sin committed by an individual has caused or defiled the entire assembly. Here's the assembly of Israel became defiled. And so that confession must be made publicly. And in the end here, such a sad story. He was burnt. Let's look at an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse, we'll probably read from verse 1 coming down. And so here Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He said, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit, and as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. In other words, here is a known sin that has caused a reproach on the name of the Lord. And Paul is now aware of what's happening. In this, his first letter, we should understand that at this time, the church was not even sorrowful about what was happening. They knew about what was happening, but they did not take a stand. But Paul is saying he has already passed judgment. Such an individual should be removed from the fellowship. And over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, just to follow up with the individual or with the case. Read for verse 5. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. So the sin that was present in the church has affected the entire body of believers. And so this is something that must be, the confession for such sins must be made publicly. And not only the confession, but also the rebuke, where the church takes a stand, must be made publicly. He said, most of you oppose him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. And so when the confession, the necessary confession is made, then reconciliation, forgiveness of sin is accompanied. Friends, in Psalm chapter 32, we will see how unconfessed sins affects us, even physically. Psalm 32 and verse 2. Let's go there. Yes, from the New Living Translation. What joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Psalmist said, when I refuse, I was covering my sins. My body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. So he was affected physically because there were sins that he had not confessed unto the Lord. He said, my body wasted away. Some of these things I did not understand when I just got saved. But I recall a tent meeting that we were having back home. And this individual preacher from overseas with a, he had several giftings that the Lord had given him. Discerning of spirit, and one of them was the gift of prophecy. And I remember while I was at the tent playing the keyboard, there was a prayer line, and I saw they had asked for persons who were sick, and people were being healed from all manner of diseases. Friends, this is not something I'm making up in my mind. I was seeing people being healed. Who were paralyzed, people who were dumb and could not speak. They were healed. People who were blind, their eyes were opened up. People were healed from all manner of cancer, all manner of diseases. And I recall an individual came in the line. And when he came in the line, the preacher pulled him out. He came for prayer because he was sick. And the preacher pulled him out and told him, this is something I witnessed. He said, the prayer won't help you. Go make it right with your pastor and you will be healed. Now, this is a visiting preacher. And I watch as that man broke down in tears. I didn't know what the problem was, but that was the only word given for his healing. So there was something that he needed to confess to make it right that would allow him to be healed. And let's look further. Psalm 38 gives us a more vivid picture. And I won't read all of it, but it says, O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. Your arrows have struck deep and your blows are crushing me. Because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. Because of my sins, my health is broken. So the body is now affected because of unconfessed sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain all day long. I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. Unconfessed sins. Wrestles against the mind, and it destroys even the body. Because where there is no peace of mind, the body will be affected. That's why it's our responsibility, our duty, to confess our sins before God, or whoever we have transgressed, reconcile, make it known, open up, talk about the full story, not a part. Confession, there's a danger too, as it relates to individual sins that we have committed against God. There's a danger too, because at times one will try to, you know, how do I say this now? One may try to open up about their sins, and in so doing, their intention is not necessarily to make their sins known to God, but is to win the support of individuals, where they can be seen of men and say, oh, he's such a righteous individual. Look at how he just owns and talk about. No, the intention for us confessing our sins is to make sure that we are releasing ourselves from the guilt that's in our lives. And we are seeking God's forgiveness because we are broken. We have acknowledged it. We have seen where we have gone wrong. We are broken up. We are sorrowful. We have determined in our mind that we're going to forsake the sin. And all we need is God's forgiveness. And so we must go in our closet, close that door, open up before the Lord, tell him everything, because he knows about it already. We have to tell him everything. And because, friends, there's a danger when sin lives within our temple and it's not confessed. Because once sin is living there, it's going to open the doors for other sins to enter. Because when a sin enters an individual, it leaves the door wide open. Not before long, such an individual, if he has not repented, confess his sins, be broken, be sorrowful, forsake it, soon after, other sins will creep right in. We can now look at James chapter 5, a very familiar passage of scripture. James chapter 5, verse 13. James says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the question is asked, do I confess all my sins to everyone, one to the other? Before I get into more of what James is talking about here, it's necessary at times, especially where it relates to sins, what the Bible called besetting sins, sins that you find yourself committing over and over again, and you can't seem to get a handle on it, not to. And so, in cases like that, an individual at times may seek to find a person who is spiritual and be accountable, who he can talk to, so that he can be accountable and to pray for him that he may overcome such a sin. But in the context of what James is talking about here now, he's saying that if there's any person who is sick, he should call for the elders of the church, and they should offer a prayer of faith, and the Lord will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Now James moves on to say, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The question is, was James speaking in general terms, or should we consider his statement within the context of what he's dealing with? He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So the context is about the healing of the individual, and such confessions will speak to such confessions and prayer will speak to the success of the body of believers. But if a person is struggling with a particular sin and you cannot overcome, it means you can't handle it on by yourself and you need help. When I was growing up, and I'm sure there are others who will tell you that they had more mature saints that they could share some of their struggles with. And I will say over and over, more mature saints, saints who are fruitful, have proven themselves mature. They're producing fruit, spiritual. It is good for us to share our struggles, because it's one open family. It is good for us to share our struggles with that individual so that we can be helped. But at the same time, I don't believe from what James is saying here is that this is the principle, the necessary principle, where confessions must be made openly to everyone. Because we talk about confessions to God. We talk about confession as it relates to when we have offended an individual. Jesus himself says, agree with your adversary quickly. Go make it right. He says, if you have aught against your brother, or your brother has aught against you, and you remember, leave and go make it right. In Numbers, where we talk about restitution with confession, where we have defrauded, we have trespassed against our neighbor, we should go and make it right with our brother. Now, there's a next scripture. Let me just find it here. That one just slipped my mind. I'll come back to it, but that one just slipped my mind. And so, even we talk about also public confession. Now, if an individual, perhaps you have not defrauded a next individual, but you have slandered that person. You have shared gossip. You have spread lies against that individual. That confession is not necessarily a private one between you and that individual. Because where you have defamed the individual, you will have to make it known to those who you have spread, or those who you have slandered the individual against. So if it was five other parties and you have committed that sin, it is not enough to confess your sins to that individual. And there's an outstanding five members or individuals who still in their mind have a certain concept about who the other person is. Because if you have shared with them that Brother James is a thief, and you have come back to me now and say, Brother James, I called you a thief, but it was not so. I'm so sorry. No, there are five persons out there who are still considering me a thief. So in such cases, we have to make it right, make it known, public confession even to the other five persons. Matthew 18 and verse 15. I think this is the one I wanted. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, agree with what you have said, you have won that person back. So if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. And if that person listens and confesses, so when you have made the offense known and they have agreed that what you have said is true, you have won that person back. But the key here is go privately and point out the offense. So if my brother has offended me, And I spread it all around the 20 different individuals. It has now become a challenge. And so it's not him alone that's going to confess to me when I point it out. But now I will have to go back to those 20 individuals and point it out. That's why gossip, slandering, discord is a terrible sin. I will close off by showing some examples of confession. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 10, after David had numbered the people, which was against the will of God, the Bible said that but David's heart struck him. But after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned, because his sin was against the Lord. It wasn't against another man. He said, I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt, Lord, for doing this foolish thing. That's confession. Peter said in Luke 5 and verse 8, when Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Another one was a thief on the cross. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 24, verse 41 rather, he said, we deserve to die for our crimes. He was talking to the next thief on the other side. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. So he's confessing. And you remember from the account given in the Gospels, he said, Lord, remember me when thou goest in paradise. And Jesus said to him, after he had confessed, today you are with me in paradise. That's the power of confession. And friends, there are prayers that have gone up to heaven. We have uttered them, we have made them known to the Lord. And all the Lord is waiting for is for us to properly repent of our sin, confess our sins to him. And when we have done that, we will see, as if it were, the windows of heaven just open up on our lives, overwhelmed with the blessing of the Lord. And I'm not necessarily talking about material things. The peace of mind, when our sins have been forgiven, the peace of mind, when we know our guilt has been removed. Because once guilt is there, you wake up with it. You dream about it. You work along. You go to work. You do your daily activities. It's popping up every now and then. When you lay back down to sleep, it's right there. It's guilt. And all we have to do is to repent, confess our faults. There's no other way around it. Where we need to make it right with God, we will have to make it right. Where we need to confess to an individual whom we have caused an offense or we have offended, we need to do it. There is no way around it. We cannot be partial. It's not optional. Unreserved. Everything must be fully disclosed. When we sin, when we commit certain sins that has brought a reproach to the name of the Lord. So you see what Achan's sin was. First, when he committed that sin, it caused Israel not to be victorious. And they lost the battle. Battle that should have been easily won. They lost it because sin was in the camp. Unconfessed sin. And so is it even in the church. There are some sins that will defile the entire family of faith. And that's why it was dealt with so harshly by the Lord. When Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to imitate what others have done. But their intention, their motive was not a correct one. Because they wanted to be praised. It was all about self. And so they sold land. Just like, I think the name of the person is Joseph. They sold land. But instead of giving everything, they kept back a part. And that sin now was going to break the fellowship in the community. And when they came, the Spirit of the Lord exposed them, the Holy Ghost. And that's another dimension to unconfessed sins in the family of faith. I know some folks, they are weary of that. But I want everyone to know that the Lord will protect his community, his body of believers. He will protect it. And there are times that the Lord will expose sins. Because there are some sins that will break the fellowship of the community. And that was what was happening even with the individual in Corinth. Paul is saying, you are supposed to be the testimony, the example in the community. And the church is puffed up, not even ashamed of what's happening, not even taking a stand. I have already passed my judgment. Put him out of the church. Break fellowship with him. Seems harsh. But the Lord will take a stand. The Lord will expose. And now, even in God's act of exposing such an individual, is an act of love, because he wants them to see their sin. He wants them to be broken over their sins. He wants them to confess their sins so that they may be pardoned. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.